it's a misplaced art. I will not say it is a lost art, but it's a misplaced art. Because in our generation, honor has been given to people, or the wrong people. I don't like to say wrong people, but I'll explain later on. To the wrong areas of our life, to the wrong things. But as we've been observing through the years, especially in the new generation, and when I say new generation means this generation in the last possibly 10 years, not even when I was growing up, you know, honor is being placed a very, very great emphasis. I'm not sure in the Western world, but in the Asian culture and in my Chinese culture, in especially where the family I grew up, honor is placed very high. It's very, very great emphasis to honor people, to honor God, the God that we worship then. But it is a great emphasis. But very, very sadly, in the last 10 years, as we move around different parts of the world, and even in Malaysia, even in Penang locally, even in the church context, in various churches we visit, and including our own church, we find that it is a misplaced art. It is very sad. It is very heartbroken. And so we're going into, as we're praying for what we're going to cover this year. So the second series that we're going to deal with will be honor. And that will take us a few weeks. And beginning this week, we'll talk about honoring God. Because that would be the first. And if you're taking notes, the title will be The Honorable Lord. Father, we thank you that you are here. And we just cannot dismiss that your presence is so beautiful. It's so powerful and yet so sweet. Father, I hide behind the cross even as I bring your message to the church that, Lord, you will speak through me, your instrument. Father, I'm humble for this opportunity that you have given to me, and I come before you in humility, asking God your anointing and authority will flow in Jesus' name, that your word will settle into the spirit of your people today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Honor in Greek is timi, T-I-M-I, but that's how you say it, timi. So honor, we know that is an internal posture. That means something is an attitude that's inside. It's inside of you and it's inside of me. But that attitude that is internal of reverence is more than just respect. You know, we respect each other. But honor is more than that. It's one notch or few notch higher, I would say, because it is about reverence. It's not just mere respect, but it's reverence. And it's incomplete if we talk about honor, an internal attitude or internal posture, but without complementing with an external expression or an outward projection of that internal posture that we have. And that outworking or the working out of that internal posture has to be by what we do, how we serve or conduct ourselves. Now, Isaiah 29:13, let us read that. Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people hear... I can't see. The Lord says, these people... Oh yeah, how come I forget about that? Come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. Go on. Can we go on? Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Now, verse 13 says that people come near to God and honor with their lips. Now, that's good, but it's not good enough. 1 Corinthians 6:20. You were bought at the price, therefore honor God with your body. That means to say that even in the spiritual act of worship, we need to balance it off with the physical act as well. And that means to say that whatever we say or do in the spirit realm has to be carried out in the physical outworking. Are you with me? Yes. When I was pondering on this, now, the entire Bible talks about honoring God. For J's sake, honor is penghormatan. Yeah. And for the people behind, in Mandarin, is rong yi. Rong yao is glory, but rong yi is honor. I don't know how to do it in Hokkien, so go figure out how do you do in Hokkien. So that is honor. And there's many passages that talk about honor. But I'd like us today to just look at one. Just one. Luke 19, from verses 1 to 10, is a very, very familiar, the account of Zacchaeus. I was going to get Ashton to be Zacchaeus today. But he says, I'm not the shortest in the church. I say, it's okay. Anyway, he wasn't ready, so it's okay. Can we read from verse 1, 19? Now Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Jesus was passing through. Can we read together? Go slow down. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possession to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word aloud. For we know that the power of your word is commendable. We know that your word is so powerful, is sharper than any double-edged sword. And right now we decree Luke chapter 19 verse 1 to 10 right into the spirits, into our spirit. And God, that it will settle there to do what you need to do in our spirit today. Because we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we love this story. Sunday school tells about this story. We sing about this story. Do you know the song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. And wee little man was he. Yes, right. I should get you guys come out to sing. Would you like to come and sing? No. So for those people who did not grow up in Sunday school like me, we miss out big time on Sunday school songs, which seems very cute to sing, very sweet, but is yet very powerful to teach the truth to the little children. I learned Sunday school songs when I became a mom because I never grew up in Sunday school. And so I learned all these songs together with my toddlers and babies. And he climbed the little sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And he said, Zacchaeus, you come down. For I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming to your house today. Don't you want the Lord to say to you that I'm coming to your house today? You're not so sure. Don't you want to hear the Lord say, I'm coming to your house today? Is your house ready to welcome the Lord? I always tell my kids, the house, they always say to me, Mom, the house needs to be lived in, you know, cannot be perfectly clean. I say, good, but are we ready to welcome the Lord at any time? Will you be okay if the Lord walks in and trample and fall down over your things? Will you be okay with that? Is your house, is your spiritual house ready to welcome the Lord at all times? Is the Lord inside here or is the Lord standing outside of your spiritual house? For those of us who have known Jesus for a long, 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 long time, I do hope that Jesus resides inside here and not standing outside, having to knock at the door every day and say, "Hello, I'm still outside." I hope he is inside. But Jesus wants to walk in every part of the house. Now, in the book of Zacchaeus, in another version, I'd like to highlight just a couple of verses. Now, Jesus was just passing through the town of Jericho. Now, if Jesus was coming to Penang, will we all get excited? If a celebrity is coming in town, we'll all be so excited, right? But if Jesus is coming, are we going to be excited? Are we going to hide somewhere because we're not ready to see the king? Because we're too ashamed. We have a long list of accounts unsettled. Or we'll be so excited that we just want to come. And so there was this man, Zacchaeus. Apparently he was short, vertically challenged. But I was just thinking how short he is. Like, would I beat him or would he beat me? We were just talking at home yesterday. How short is Zacchaeus? Have anybody know how short is Zacchaeus? Anyone know? No? So I have not gone in to find out how short is Zacchaeus, whether he's shorter than me or not. But he has yet to know Jesus personally as the Lord. But Zacchaeus heard that he was coming to town. And Zacchaeus was a rich man. He was a tax collector. He was rich. And he was trying, verse 3 says, he was trying to see Jesus. So that denotes that he was very desperate to see the Lord. And there is this deep longing that he was trying to see Jesus. But he could not because of the crowd. He was so small in stature. Remember I told you, in those days when we were worshipping, my family was worshipping idols, and during the night emperor procession, I'm a little girl, so short and stout. I was much fatter than this. I think I was bigger than now. But in the midst of the crowd, my dad will make me just go squeeze myself through to touch that rope to receive some blessing. Remember I told you that story? And so here I'm trying to imagine myself, if I was Zacchaeus, short and trying to squeeze my way through, but can't see this man that people's talking about. And so verse 4 say, he must be very quick. This rich man must be very quick and keen in his mind that he was not contented just being in the crowd and settle, it's okay lah. Most of us are like that, right? We're very lazy people nowadays, right? Because we want things so easy. So if we can't, it's okay lah. Tapa lah. Go home lah. Or go eat supper lah. But here he say he ran on ahead. He ran on ahead. That means before anybody else, he ran on ahead and climbed up in a sycamore tree in order to see him. Now, that means that he would risk his reputation as a rich man to, I'm sure in that time, they are not clothed in jeans like you. Right? They have their tunic and their robes, and to climb up a tree for a rich man to risk being in that posture, he did not care because all he wanted to see was Jesus. And so he climbed up the tree to catch a glimpse of him. And surely the Lord was attentive. Surely the Lord was alert to be able to catch hold of that man standing up on a tree and looking up. He said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down." That's Amplified Version. And I think it's NKJV or KJV that says, I like this. It says, "Make haste," meaning to say what? Hurry, quickly, cepat, cepat. Lekas. Unfortunately, we are all very lambat and lembab also. Right? Because we are lembab here. And that's why we are lambat. But here it says, "Make haste and come down." Or "hurry up and come down." NIV say what? Quickly, is it? Verse 6. "Come down immediately. So, NIV say immediately, and then my version say make haste, and Amplified says hurry and come down. That tells us that Jesus is giving an instruction, an order, and expecting Zacchaeus to respond immediately. In the hospital, the doctors want everything urgent to be done, stat. Stat means immediately, like right now. I don't care if you have time or not, nurse, you get it done now. So if every doctor come and say and sign everything, stat, we are dead. Because everything has to be now. And some doctors will say, you do my now. And then another doctor will come and say, you do this now. But I'm only have two hands, so I have to decide which is more urgent as a nurse in the ward. We cannot just follow the doctor's order blindly. So we have to weigh between A and B, who is first. But here Jesus says, now, immediately, make haste and come down. And what was his response? Let's look at this. What was his response? He says, come down, and then he gives the second order, I must stay at your house today. And so he hurried and came down. So a few things he did. One, he hurried and came down. I hope we all respond to the Lord like that. I hope we respond to our parents like that at home. I always hear my father say, have you heard before at home? Familiar? No, huh? Because, you all laugh, some of you laugh. Because some of us kids are like, coming, like what Pastor Ed say, right? Coming, yes, coming, yes, I'm on the way. So here, he responded by coming down immediately. Secondly, he received and welcomed him joyfully. He received and welcomed him joyfully. Now, I want to highlight verse 6 here of the response that Zacchaeus have that I pray over the week. I've been praying intensely for this verse to seep into our spirit, to settle in there, that we will embrace and grow that culture inside of us. That we will respond immediately when the Lord says something to us. When an instruction comes from the Lord, it comes and then we receive it. A lot of times, not that we did not hear God, but we do not obey immediately. And that is radical obedience that is part of the DNA of the church. Get it? Not just obedient, but radical obedient. Radical obedient means to say, yes, Lord, here I am. We talk about waiting. Waiting is this. Yes, Lord, here I am. What do I need to do? Not, you say first, lah, Lord. You say first, I think first if I want to respond or not. To our terms instead of God's term. Now, when we talk about honoring God, we talk about the readiness to receive Him right immediately. We're talking about when we come into the presence of God in the church, we are ready to worship God. We are ready to exalt Him. We are ready to lift up praise unto Him. We don't drag our feet here, but we are ready. I know sometimes we are tired. I'm tired today. Sometimes we feel lazy. Sometimes we are just sloppy. But other times, some of us are just habitual, dragging our feet to church. But here Zacchaeus was ready. So when we talk about honor, I'd like to explain honor a little bit more than just now. Now in Greek is hypodikomai. I hope I get the pronunciation right. It's hypodikomai. So when I was reading this, I said it a few times and then I thought like, huh, bikomai. It sounds like bikomai, if you know what I'm saying. So hypodikomai is actually meaning to say under. Meaning to say that we come under and then to receive. Are you with me? Hypothekomai means under and receive. That is honor explained in the actual Greek word in this passage. Meaning to say that we are placing our hands or our arms under the person that we are honoring to receive that, to give that hospitality, that courtesy, the respect, the reverence, the kindness, and the welcome the person deserves. And here we're talking about the Lord Jesus himself. That we are to come under placing our arms and lift him up. That is hypodikomai. That is honor. Just think about that for a little while. Is that the internal posture when we come into the presence of God? Is that the internal attitude that we have when we come to church? That we are ready to come and receive, to come under and lift him up. And Psalm 24, 7, 8, 9 talk about who is the King of Glory that we should lift up our heads. Let's read that. Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Two times, verse 7 and verse 9, it says, lift up your heads, O you gates. Why? Because we need to open up the doors for the King of Glory to come in. If you're very tired for some reason, go wash your hands and come, wash your face and come back if you're very tired and you're feeling sleepy. All right? Because I really, really want you to get this into your spirit, what it means to honor God. And honoring God means we need to prepare ourselves for Sunday service. So if we are going to have a late night, knowing that we're going to come in here and fall asleep, that is not preparing ourselves in honoring God. Get it? And that's why I always tell that you make sure you get a good night's sleep on Saturday, because Sunday is the Lord's Day. And we don't even start our worship service at 8:30. The church, my first church that I went to, the service is at 8:30 a.m. And it is Island Glaze, and I stay in Ayer Itam. So it takes about half an hour, and that would mean that I have to get up extra early because the person transporting me to church is a deacon of the church who needs to go and get the place ready and open the church and lay out the books, the hymn books, and get the coffee ready, the flower arrangement. And therefore, I need to follow a deacon who needs to go to church early. And I won't tell you how early I have to wake up on a Sunday, because all of us, a Sunday is a sleep-in day. How blessed are you in GCC because your worship is at 5 p.m. And I still have people who says, I cannot wake up for service. Apa macam? Ponteng, mangkok. What do you do with such people? I say, I cannot. I have no more excuses for you to buy, because morning, you cannot wake up. Afternoon, you cannot wake up. If we have it at lunchtime, you also fall asleep after lunch. So what's a good time for church? What's a good time for church? A lot of people laugh. You smile. I'm telling you, these are serious reality. Okay? Some people who have stopped coming to church because they cannot wake up after afternoon nap. Sad, right? Sad. You better pray for people like this. I even have people say, can I ring you? Can I be your alarm clock? Still, they don't come. I also don't know. So, here we're talking about lifting our heads. We're being asked that every gate, now gates talk about the leadership of the city, because that's where transaction happened, in the gates, the city square, right? But here we're talking about opening up your door to the King of Glory. And we're saying that honor is going down under, placing our arm and lift him up. And lift him up and carry him to every city gate and say, Lift up your heads, O you gates, to the King of Glory. We're talking about being Zacchaeus, responding readily, receiving him joyfully, being quick to obey. Now, joyful is translated to receive with this delight. Hail, hallelujah, that kind of joyful, you know. We're talking about that joyful, exuberant rejoicing. Or if you want, the Greek word is kairo. So it's that, So we are carrying his presence to every city gate, wherever, which gate you go every day, and say, lift up your heads to the King of Glory. You're carrying this presence as you're honoring God. You've got to honor him, not just in church. You are lifting him up and carrying him to every gate and say, you gates, lift up your heads to the King of Glory. Open up the ancient doors. Now, ancients talk about an everlasting door. It's not just the door that is already gone, historical door. But the implication of the ancient door is actually an everlasting door. So I'm praying that we collectively as a church will be a church that know how to honor God. Not just coming in and worship and leave, but to lift his presence to every city square. And that means every part of our lives are involved. But beginning with coming into the presence like Zacchaeus, so ready to receive, so quick to obey. And that is a living response that the Lord requires from us. And what is Zacchaeus doing here? He's putting him before himself, Zacchaeus. Or rather, for you and I, we should be he before me. I used to serve in St. Xavier's Form 6. I was the president of the Social Action Club. And the Social Action Club in St. Xavier's, nobody is from St. Xavier's, have the motto called, Joseph, you're from Social Action Club. It's a beautiful place to serve. It's a lot of responsibility. That we do a lot of charity and community work. And so we don't cook up in St. Xavier's, but we go out and do work outside. And so the motto for that club is others above self. And so in Form 6, although we're very busy, maybe it's just St. Xavier's, St. Xavier's people. We'll just play a lot, right? We just have lots of socialization in St. Xavier's. They always compare free school. I'm sorry for KL folks. Always comparing free school and the rival St. Xavier's. One is the nerdy one, they say. One is just, they just know how to play. And still score. But I don't know. I was never in PFS. But in St. Xavier's, I do acknowledge that there is a lot of very active things going on. Every form of social things going on, from parties to charity work. So I fall in a good girl, I do a lot of charity. So it has stuck to me that should be the way. And I wasn't even a Christian then. But I've been reminded again and again that we should have this motto that he before me. And that was what Zacchaeus was doing. Because he lived out, he forgo, he dropped his reputation, he dropped everything just to respond obediently, radically, lovingly, unto the Lord. And when God says that I will come, Jesus said, I will come to your house today. His response was, he made preparation, right? He made preparation to go into his house. And he did not just stop there. When the people saw it in verse 7, they muttered among themselves. And then it talks about Jesus going in as a guest and lodge with him who is devoted to sin. Preeminently a sinner. But then what Zacchaeus did in verse 8 was he stood up and he solemnly declared to the Lord, see Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I restore four times as much. Here Zacchaeus is saying that not that I'm just going to give you one portion back, but I will restore four portions for those that I have cheated. To me, this is really repentance. It's really repentance because it's coming before God and say, whatever it takes to make right, if this is it, I will do it. He was so quick to say. And when we talk about honor, means we deeply respect that person and the person's words. Means the words of the person is equivalent to the person. Yes. If I am in authority at home as a mom, and I tell Ned I'm going out today and make sure everybody have their lunch by 1 and then quieten down and do their own reading by 2 o'clock. That's my instruction to Ned. But I leave the house and Ned says to everybody at home, this is what mom says, you eat by 1 and you everybody quieten down and read by 2. That's equivalent to mom. Are you with me? If anybody protests and then she say, that's mom's words. So the words of the person in authority is equivalent to the person itself, despite the absence. So the word of God's here is the same as the encounter if you have God tangibly, because we did not live in the time of Zacchaeus to see Jesus, but we are still waiting for his return. And I hope you and I are excited in the coming of the King. Are you? I hope that you do not forget that all that we're living for is waiting for the return of the bridegroom. And that's why the church needs to rise up to prepare, because we are the bride. Because our souls are married to Him. And we have to be ready. So here, when we talk about honor, Zacchaeus is one who knew how to honor Jesus. Because he was so ready to receive, he was so quick to respond, he was so loving in his response, he was so radical in coming out with his declaration, and he rendered allegiance to him. Where is our allegiance today? You ask yourself, where is your allegiance today? Is it unto the Lord? And he threw a feast for Jesus to be the guest of his house because he lodged there. That is a cordial hospitality that he went beyond himself to receive Jesus into his house. When we talk about honor, we must be ready to cordially invite Jesus to come in and have a feast, have a party with me. When we come into the presence of God in a Sunday worship like this, that's why we call it a Sunday celebration, because we're celebrating Jesus. Who are we celebrating when we come together? We're celebrating Jesus Christ. So don't come in such a solemn mode as though that this is a funeral parlor. Jesus has risen. We must come in with reverence and respect. And there's one thing I want to highlight, that sometimes churches in modern, postmodernism churches, are like market. It's just a lot of huru-hara. Don't agree. The first church I attended, the moment you pick your hymn book and enter the church, everything is quiet and everybody is seated, meditating upon the presence of the Lord and what God has done for us and why we're in church. And so while some of us here, modern people, say that, so boring when I go to church. It's honor. Is giving honor to the presence of the King. It is kingly presence. When you enter into the Yang Dipertuan Agong punya gathering, do you make like you have gone into a marketplace? No, right? You dress your best to meet Agong. And that's why we've been trained from young, wear your Sunday best to church. If this is your Sunday best, good. You don't have to compare yourself to other people, but your Sunday best. I know some of us are not wearing our Sunday best, so don't come and tell me this is my Sunday best. Because I've seen you guys in your best. But if we have that mentality, we're coming into the presence of the mighty King, we will honor him with the best that we can be in His presence, and we will honor Him by meditating and receiving His presence. And so we say, okay, we want to balance that, okay? We don't want to be so solemn, like, you're so rigid, right? Yes, but there must be a line draw. We have been in churches where the worship leader here is already strumming and getting ready, and still people are just shouting across, talking and jumping around and talking about last night, all the party. We've been into big churches, mega churches. I'm not saying that these churches are bad, but I'm saying that something must be wrong with our culture if we do not learn to honor God in church. I'm talking about in church, you know, getting ready for service. Here the worship leader is, hi, come. Let's get ready for service. But people are talking across the room and so loudly. And here the worship leader have to go louder. And then people are competing from the other end because this person is going louder. So other people over there in small pockets everywhere, they are competing against the worship leader or announcer, whoever is up here. Are you with me? Have you been in that situation? And that breaks my heart. Because we have misplaced that honor in church. And we need to restore the honor beginning from the setting in church before we talk about lifting His presence into the city square. It has to begin here in the church. So you say, what do we do then? Yes, come in. You want to greet your friends, but get your heart ready to joyfully receive the King. We don't want to be like, oh, the worship leaders start singing. Then we take about another 5, 10, 15 minutes. By the time you're ready to enter, people on the runway fly off already. You're still on the runway. And then the worship leader say, okay, time for the message. And you are not prepared. Now, worship prepare for the word. And then you're not prepared. You're still running on the runway. So when we come in, greet the people you want to greet. And then find your spot. Doesn't have to be always the same spot, you know. Can change spot, is okay, right? And then settle down. And then settle your heart. And be ready to receive Him. So that the moment, collectively, when the worship team starts, who are they? They are the priests and the Levites. They usher us into the presence of God. And we must not be contented, if we want to honor God, to stand at the outer courts. You say, I'm not. Good, you're not outside, you come in already. But it's not good enough to be just in the inner courts of the holy place. But we need to get into the Holy of Holies. That's where you encounter the immensity, depth of being in the presence of God. You cannot get into the Holy of Holies if you're not ready. If you're still chattering, and when the worship leader is already here, singing and getting people ready, come, let's get into the presence of God. And we're still chattering away. We are not ready to enter into the Holy of Holies. So we have to begin to restore honoring God in the church before we talk about going out of the church. And we must know that when we come into the presence of God, no matter how we feel, no matter how we feel physically, whether we are down emotionally or whether we are sick physically, like I always tell the young people that we used to pastor, and now I have to tell you guys, that don't miss church. Don't miss church unless you really, really have a valid reason, emergency, or you're tied up with work. But always, we always say pray that you get a job that can release you at the slot of your church. I was in nursing. I never get off day on Sunday. Very occasional, I get an off day on a public holiday or a Sunday. But every Sunday, or rather every week, I have to come before God and say, Lord, please give me the shift that I can take on so that I can go for church. And so if my church starts at 8:30, by 10:30, I'm done. So nobody wants to work on a Sunday afternoon. Nobody. Because most of the nurses then in my hospital, we are majority young nurses because it's majority young nurses. All the badges, we have very few married people, but a lot courting people. So they want to patol, right? So Sunday is a good day. So nobody wants to work Sunday night, nor Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon means 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. And so I would pray that, Lord, you gave me the afternoon shift. Anyway, everybody wants morning shift. So I will go to church and then I will go and work in the afternoon. So whatever your circumstance is, pray and the Lord will make a way. Of course, sometimes you can't help it, then yes. But if every single Sunday you cannot be in church, then you really have to pray very hard. Because this is a place where Hebrews 10:24 takes place. Let us do not stop meeting up because we need to spur each other towards good deeds and love. And apart from that is your CG, your connect group. And no matter how sick, unless I can't drag myself out of the bed, I'll do what it takes to get myself into church, knowing that something supernatural must happen when His people coming together in unison, honoring His name and lifting His name up and praising His name and believing in the power of the living cross. Amen? So if you are sick, don't say, I'm too sick to come. Come and receive the healing. Don't pop in Panadol and then say, I need to sleep. Come and receive the healing. If we are wanting to see the tangible touch of the Lord Jesus, then the church is the place for supernatural happening. If you're disappointed, come and receive hope. If you're dry, come and receive fresh living water. Because He's the fountain of life, Jeremiah says. If you say, I'm hurting, come and be healed. And I'm going to share to you in a while the vision that we saw in Boiler on Friday night, which we will enter into worship in a while. And so when we come into the presence of God, we must be like Zacchaeus. It must invoke joy in us. There must be joy coming into the presence of God. I can be hurting, but in the presence of God, that's where I draw joy from the wells of His salvation. I can be unhappy, but when I come into the presence of God, that's where I receive joy. But if you're joyful, then you'll be imparter of joy. His presence must touch us, and we must feel that joy thrilling in us. So for some of us, depending on the days we are, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. Joy not necessarily mean the thrill of elated feel up there. Every day, every moment. We cannot be like this. Can everybody at that thrill mode every moment? You can't. But joy, most of the days, most of the time, is that sheer calm delight that you have because God is in you. And interspersed with that elated thrill. Yes? Do you have the calm, sheer delight in you that guards your heart all the time? If you have Jesus, you must have that. If there is no joy, there is no meaning in life. If every day we go on and serving, especially us, serving in full-time ministry, I want to stress this. At any point you do not have joy, you must stop, pause, come into the presence of God and say, what is wrong with me, Lord? What is wrong with me? I'm saying what is wrong with me because everything else in the world can be wrong and there's nothing we can do about the external, but there's something we can do with our internal. So it has to begin with here. That God, what is wrong with me that I do not have joy? So joy is the indicator for you or all of us because I like what? Was it Pastor Kenner? It says that we are all full-time ministers, right? We are all full-time ministers. Amen? Who are full-time ministers? all, because all of us are sent out. But those serving in a pastoral ministry, you are full-time pastoral ministers. That you teach the church so that the church can go out and be ministers. So we are all ministers. So at any point, we lose joy. Wherever the Lord has put you, it is something that we got to deal with right here. It is an internal posture. It's an internal attitude that only God can fill, because nobody can give you 100% joy. Even if you marry the richest, most handsome, awesome, dashing guy in the world, you will not even receive 100% joy from him. You can forget about that. If you have that expectation, you're dead, because you will not. I'm telling you, guarantee you will not. If you think that you're going to marry the most beautiful Miss Universe with the most pleasant attitude that will serve you all the days of her life and pledge her loyalty to you and you only and will not look at another cute guy, and you think that that's going to give you joy, the bad news is you won't. Because the 100% joy comes from God and God alone. Do not place expectations on people to give you joy. Do not place expectation on circumstance to give you joy. But when you honor God in the secret place and in your external sphere, that's where joy will continue to replenish. It is just a natural flow of joy. If you honor him in your secret place and you honor him in the city square, that joy comes through like a fountain, an unceasing fountain. The moment you place your joy on people and circumstance and situation and paycheck and whatever achievement you have, you are in for great trouble. So learn to honor God in your secret place. Lift him up. When you come to church, lift him up. When you go to the city square, contending at the gates with the enemy, lift him up. You will have your joy be replenished. At any point, your joy is short circuit, because the enemy is always here to come, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And it begins with joy. Because the moment you don't have joy, you start blaming people, you start blaming circumstance, you start blaming yourself, and you are ashamed, you're guilty, you cannot walk anymore. You're stunted and you're stuck. And that's a terrible place to be. Are you with me? But if you are in the center of God's will, joy will flow. If there's no joy, it's us, not God. Because his well of salvation is deep. It's very deep and it is bottomless. You can just drink forever and ever. So what do we do to honor his presence? And how should we do? We won't have time to go in details today. But we need to acknowledge that God's presence is with us all the time. You feel him or you don't feel him. That is us, not him. Although sometimes he can choose to manifest his presence in ways that we cannot predict or comprehend. Like when we have the closing of the closing ceremony of the sports convention last weekend, I asked God for forgiveness because I was praying that his presence would come mightily. But he came in a way that I did not expect, because it was a sports convention. Right? And so I thought I'm not sure how y'all feel, but we're going to end with that boom, sporty people, okay? But when I passed the baton out to every person, the presence of God just zoom. It came, and I see all these people standing here in tears or trying to just hold back the tears, but that presence was so thick, so tangible, that I'm like, God, I was speechless in that moment. Because I was just so awestruck by his presence. So we cannot predict how God is going to work. On Friday, boiler time, I tell you, I was down And I was telling God, I'm not in the best mood to do 3 hours prayer now because I'm tired, I'm sleepy, I'm feeling lousy. Don't y'all feel this way? It was just me. You know, sometimes we have those wormy day. You feel like a worm, like nothing's good that's happening. It wasn't that bad. It was just, I guess, it was just tired. I was just tired. So I was just kneeling down and worshiping while JC was just strumming his guitar and worshiping, and he was trying to digest his food because I was trying to honor him that despite I only serve vegetables and plant-based most of the time in my house, I choose to honor the guests I have that night, two of my youth leaders, knowing that they love pork, you know, pork. And so I decided that day that, okay, I'm going to get them pork, but I don't cook pork, you see. And to cook for two people, I'm not going to stink up my whole kitchen. So this is the bit I can do, lah, huh? So I went out to buy good oil. So then my girls look at me, you buying pork? I say, yeah, not for you girls, for the two guys later on, since they're working so hard, you know, they can have some pork. And then I came back, says another girl asked me, Mom, you bought pork? Yes, I say pork for these two boys. And so that is my way of honoring you. Despite I don't eat pork, okay? I don't like pork. I hate pork. No pork. No pork. But after that, he was eating so much. I said, you need some time to digest before we go into prayer. So while he was given time to digest his pork and lots of rice, I was down there and telling God, I'm tired, God. I'm not ready, God. I'm tired, God. And then we just worship as usual. We just worship. And I just felt a kingly presence in our midst. I just saw very vaguely, not like, wow, so clear, but like very faintly, like the king is there. And so we're just worshiping. But the next moment, it was the high priest that walked in. The scene just transit. And when the high priest walked in, I just sensed Jesus was saying, I'm here, the high priest, to intercede for you. And what's your request? I can't even feel him now. And so we place our requests, we pray. We pray with words, we pray with songs, we pray with tongues. We just prayed, and his presence just came, and I went into a very awkward position that they told me later on, Mom, you were in a very awkward position. And JC, I heard, was trying to spy on me, like, what's she doing? Yeah, I was in a position that it's not my normal position, but I just felt this weighty presence of the Almighty God that come upon us as we were worshiping him, the high priest, and placing the request in his presence. It was just filling me, and I was telling God, I feel like I have no more space, you know. I feel very pregnant. Like, it's just coming and the presence is just weighty. And I went backward. Although I was having very bad pain, the Lord just has his way. Maybe it's just good for my stretch. But I was having really bad pain. But he was making me going this way. I felt going down this way. Some sort like that, right? But I was closing my eyes and I was just tears were just streaming. The tears were just streaming. So we can have joy in the Lord. Despite those tears, it was just tears of joy because I know God was there. And he was just bending me. And I was like, God, this is very painful. But he was just like putting things into me. And God says, oh, go ahead, fill out more. But I feel like I was going to fall off. But he did not let me fall off. I was in that position for a long while. And so we cannot expect how God will turn out. And we had an awesome, fabulous, fantastic time that night. And Natalie opened her eyes because she was tired too. And she opened her eyes and she said, it's 11. We prayed for 2 hours. And she didn't even feel that she was praying for 2 hours already. And then the Lord, we were praying for the healing of the church because what the Lord showed us that night was the church needs healing. We have wounded soldiers. We have wounded emotions. We have wounded physically. We have relationships which are wounded inside and outside, amongst here and outside. And we're just praying, interceding for the healing of the church. And the Lord says, I have already established 3 pools of water. And so the vision that came that night was there was no chairs here, but the chairs was in a circle and there was 3 pools of water. And the Lord was just there. And the Lord said, I've established 3 pools of water. But people are not coming to receive it. I say, God, why? And so for a long time, I waited. We waited. We prayed. We worshiped. We prayed some more. We worshiped. And I say, God, why three pools and not one big pool? Why three pools? It was towards the end of the 3 hours, the Lord says, the three pools are for three groups of people, the youth, the young adults, and the single adults. On a Friday night, get them to pray. Come. Come and drink. And the Lord says, I'm here. I've already established the pools, but people are not coming. And so we pray and worship someone. I say, we ask why? Because if there's a pool of water, why don't we drink? Why do we rather sit around and be hurt, be wounded, be disappointed, be dry? The Lord says three things. Unbelief, unwilling, stubbornness. And that breaks my heart. Church, can I urge you that when we say we honor God, we got to honor what God is doing for us as well. Yes, God has done it all for us on the cross, but God is still doing His mighty work every day, every moment for us. Because we are just hopeless people without Him. We are sheep who has gone astray. And that's why we need shepherd. And so when the pools of water is here, we need to come and draw. We need to have a repentant heart. If we say that there's unbelief in me, now this has to be you and God. I can't answer. You have to come afresh before God and say, God, do I have unbelief? If you say, I have this situation and I don't think God can manage my situation, that's unbelief. Because there is nothing impossible, says the Lord, for Him. Amen? No matter how difficult your situation, you may say to me, Selena, you do not understand my situation. No, I'm not called to understand your situation. Neither are you called to understand my situation. But I will, and you will, choose as a child of God to honor God with that situation that we have by believing in Him. Amen? That is honoring God. The moment we walk away unbelief, that is dishonor. If we are honoring God, we got to believe that in the impossible, God is the specialist. He is the chief consultant over every impossibilities. Some of us, maybe it's not unbelief, but it's unwilling. For some reason, we are unwilling because we do not want to put in effort of coming by faith. We are unwilling because of things that we've been pulled back in our lives, personal things, hurts. Some of us are just purely stubborn. And the Bible calls these people stiff neck. And this is the second or third time the Lord spoke to me about stiff neck people. And I say, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us being stiff neck. You know what stiff neck? Have you got a stiff neck before? So today I ask and I urge all of us to honor God by believing in Him, to honor God by being willing, to honor God by being obedient, ready, and not stubborn. That we would carry His presence under our care. What's God's? You know, when you carry someone like that, what are we saying? We are saying that what is your concern is my concern. What is your welfare is my welfare. Meaning to say that we are His carrier, right? So when we carry God, God says, I want to go there. We have to go there because that's His concern. You can't say, God, I don't like Him. I'm not going to go there. But God says, I want to go there. And so that has to become my concern and your concern. So I hope you remember hypodikomai means to come under and lift Him. That's honor. And Psalm 24 talks about lifting up and asking the gates to lift up the heads. A lot of times you're walking like this. We're not lifting up. We need to lift up. And then, he says, open up the ancient door and let the King of Glory come in. So glory, what is glory? God is everywhere. But we are asking that his glory will manifest, right? Glory is that thick presence, or Hebrew, they say it's kabod. So it's that thick presence that comes down that's so heavy. That impressive, honoring presence that comes down on us. The majestic presence that come out on us. That is his glory. And we sing of Shekinah glory, right? So God's presence is with us all the time. Everywhere we go, God go with us. But we are asking for his Shekinah glory, meaning to say the manifested presence of God. Because when God's presence manifests, amazing things happen. And forbid that our lives will be ikabod, or ichkabod, however you want to pronounce it. It means no more presence of God. We need to have kabod. I pray that we will catch the spirit of Zacchaeus, the Zacchaeus that met the Lord in the town of Jericho. The spirit of just so eager to welcome the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The spirit that says, I'm ready, God, whatever instruct, I will do it. I will do it even more. The spirit that says, Lord, you just come into my house. I'll take care of you. The spirit that render allegiance to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. If we do not learn how to honor God, we cannot learn honoring people. Well, we'll talk about that in the weeks to come. Why do we want to honor God? Who is God? Who is this God that we're talking about? Who is Jesus? Why do we want to honor Jesus? Why? Can you ask your neighbor, why? Why do we need to honor God? It's not a trick question. Just between your neighbors. Why do we want to honor God? Because Colossians chapter 1, Chris read that in a prayer just now. That through him, in him, from him, all things are created and flow. He's the supreme one. That's why we worship him. That's why we honor him. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Psalm 24 says he is the King of Glory. The Lord that goes into battle. He's Jehovah Gibor. He's the sovereign one. He's the mighty one. He's our creator. He's our father. He's our friend. He's our counselor. He's our healer. He's our provider. He's our everything. And that's why we need to honor him. He deserves every part of us. So we need to give him our all in honoring God. Because he deserves it. Period. He just deserves it. Why do we need to honor God? Because he deserves it. I want you to talk to God for a while. And ask God, what else, Lord, that I can do or be to honor you even more? Because you are the Lord Almighty. You are the King of Glory, Sovereign One, our Creator. In our postmodernism culture, Jesus is equated to be buddies, to be friends, and a lot of church culture see Jesus as friend. That's good. But that's just one aspect of who God is to us, being our buddy. But God cannot be our buddy unless we learn how to honor Him as King and the Supreme One. And in a relationship, as a buddy, sometimes we lose that divine honor. And that's why I say honor is a misplaced art in many places, including our churches. Because we treat Jesus as our buddies, we forget that He's King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank You that You always delight to be with us. Though You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but You always delight to be in the presence of Your people. You are so good, Lord. That You will call us Your children. Lord, we want to be like Zacchaeus. We ask for the impartation of the spirit of Zacchaeus when he met You, Lord. The spirit that's so ready to give You honor because You deserve it, God. Father, no matter where we are with You in our relationship, there is always more that we can give to honor You. There's always more that we can do or be to honor You, Lord. And we ask You, Spirit of the Mighty God, to teach us and to lead us. Raise this church, O Lord, to be a church who knows how to honor You. For You are God of gods and King of kings. We do not want to hold back anything in order to honor You, Father. I'd like us to look up. And Chiwen, can you just flash up Revelation 4? And this is another passage that the Lord gave us on Friday night. After this I look, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man, the fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. I'd like you to just ask God for a good imagination. When I say imagination, I'm not telling you to do New Age imagination. But as you read this, that what is painted in your mind is a glorious, beautiful, radiant sight. It is a bright scene. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to Him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him who sits on the throne and worship Him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God." That's why we honor Him. "To receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." Verse 11, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they were created and have their being." This passage talks about God being that glorious God and how we should come before Him day and night, night and day, just ascribing greatness unto Him. And that's what we want to do now. Shall I invite you to rise? That in the presence of God, when we worship God, our posture, our physical posture speaks of our internal posture. God, we want to be taken up in the Spirit, as You showed John in Revelation 4. God, we want, oh God, that same ability to come up and see from where You are sitting. Lord, we want to be caught up in Your Spirit right now. God, we choose to honor You because You are the Lord of grace and glory. You are the God of power. No words can describe You. You are indescribable. Let's just give Him the best worship and honor that we can.